Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We have finally made it to Super Bowl week. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina. Before we get started with this edition of the MMQB Podcast, let me give the proper intros here. MMQB Senior Editor Gary Gramling joins us as always, and he is headed to Atlanta soon. How you doing?
Soon, yeah.
You ready, ready for the flight, the cold temperature? Are you going to be a whining media member?
No. See, not about the venue. I don't care about the venue. I just hate the whole process of traveling. I hate going to an airport. I don't live near an airport, so it's like a two-hour trip for me to get to an airport. And then I don't like the process of going through an airport.
At least the TSA thing is resolved now, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been pleasant. And as always, we're joined by Gary's brother, Scott, the managing editor of drfsportsfarm.com. Will you be headed to Atlanta?
I will indeed be headed to Atlanta. I am headed down on Saturday. So I will be there for Saturday night festivities and the game and then coming back on Monday.
Do you alter your wagering if you're in person or at home? Do you make more bets, less bets, or it doesn't matter?
I tend to end up making less bets.
If you're there.
If I'm there. There's just too much stuff going on. You know how it is. When you're at home and you're on the couch and you're ready to watch a game, you know, then you're messing around on your computer and your phone and you're looking at the next games that are coming up. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's kickoff and it's like, oh my gosh, I have action on like seven of these games.
Right.
And I feel like when I've watched the Super Bowl not on location, I tend to get a little carried away with prop bets.
It's
a good segue.
You know what? I'm so pissed. I wanted to get the I tweeted out my prop bets for last year's Super Bowl. I went like 7-1 or 6-0 or something like that. I wanted to get them because I had two that were crazy about. Will a field goal or extra point hit the crossbar? I had yes, and it was a winner.
Oh,
and
nice.
I had will there be a missed extra point or field goal, and I had yes, and I wish I would have printed out that. I wish I would have found that tweet. Maybe I'll look for it when we're talking here.
Wait, you hit field goal, hit the upright?
Yes.
Wow.
Or I think it was field goal extra point. I'll find it.
That's pretty
while
good.
We do this, and I'll read them off to you.
And Cody Parkey wasn't even in that game.
Right, exactly. So, but I should let me plug something quick. But after you finish listening to this podcast, when you're done with this and you have more time, go listen to the SI Media podcast this week. I had Brent Musburger on, and if you're a gambler, you will love that interview with Brent. He broke down the scene in Vegas, talked about the prop. You know, it's funny. I asked Brent, we were looking at Super Bowl MVP. And I said, you know, he talks about how it always goes to a quarterback usually. And I said, I like the value at Gronk because I think it was, we'll get into it later, but it's either 30 or 40-1. And Brent just said, I'm not looking for value. I'm looking to cash a ticket.
It's an interesting way to look at it, right? It's an interesting way to look at it.
Just the fact that Brent even said that to me is...
You know, it's interesting not to get too deep into this, but I've been watching a lot of the past Super Bowls last week and really over the last 10 days. Deion Branch winning the MVP of the Super Bowl 39 was surprising in rewatching that game. Brady really should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl. Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks really should have been Edelman instead of Brady.
Right.
But for whatever that's worth.
He had like the, what, 8 concussions and they kept him in the game?
Oh, gosh, right?
That was the Seahawks Super Bowl,
he would get
right?
tackled and then he would just get up and he would run 30 yards.
The concussion protocol was not working in that game.
He was running away from the concussion protocol consistently.
Yeah. So I've got 36 pages of printed out prop bets from the Westgate in Vegas. I'm going to tell my producer, Harry, right now. You may hear pages ruffling, so I apologize. But there's 36 pages here, and we got to go through them. So just bear with me. So here's what we're going to do. I've marked some of the more interesting props, the weird ones, the legitimate ones. We'll go through what we like. I'll throw them out to Scott and Gary. Then they'll come back with some they like, and we'll do the game at the end of this podcast. And one thing that, you know, I know online with the offshore sites, I use Five Dimes, they usually have like $25, $50 limits on something like the time of the national anthem. But do you know in the Westgate in Vegas, do you think there is a limit on that?
It's low limits on
it. Yeah, there is.
It's stuff that you can control. And I don't want people to get all up in arms that you know, these things are fixed. But let's be honest, if there were high limits on the length of time that the national anthem is going to last – You certainly have
Gladys
a lot of control over that.
In.
Well, yeah, that's the theory there, that anyone involved in these prop bets can easily fix them.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take you through some of these. Well, let me start with this. Do you guys bet the coin toss?
I do not. A buddy of mine out there puts an awful lot on the coin toss, and he's usually doing it at like
well, see, that I don't
minus
now,
105.
Why are you putting a lot of money? I do a $20 for shits and giggles. Let's have fun and get the day started, Ben. Yeah. What are we doing with a big amount on the coin toss?
He just wants to feel pain or elation before the game even starts.
Right.
That was
set
his
the tone for the day.
Talk about a degenerate.
Now, coin tosses are for deciding late January playoff games, not for making money off of them.
I bet it every year. All right.
How have you done on it, 50-50?
I think I'm like 0-30, basically.
do you bet heads every year?
I change it up every year, and every year I'm wrong.
What are you betting this year?
I think I'm going to go tails.
Yeah, I would go tails.
You know what's interesting? The Westgate, I don't see anything on the anthem. I think it's a minute and 40 or a minute and 45 in a lot of places for Gladys Knight. Anybody, well, either of you bet the length of the anthem?
No, I don't bet any of the completely off the field stuff. I mean, I know the anthem's sung on the field, but I really don't. I don't get into any of that stuff.
Gary?
No, I don't either. She said she's going to do it legit. That seems to be implying that it will be relatively short. So if I was going to bet it, I'd go under.
There's like on the crazy offshore sites, they have like, will she leave out a word?
Right.
I have to admit, sometimes I like this. Okay. Let's start with this one. Will Tom Brady throw an interception? Yes and no, both minus 110. Any thoughts?
I have a thought of one that I really like that's related to that, which is total number of interceptions in the game over 1.5 at plus 110.
Okay.
I just think there's going to be so much passing in this game. And you look at the fact that what are the two teams tied during the regular season for, I think it was third, I can't remember if it was for third or fourth in the NFL with 18 interceptions. So they are teams that tend to force turnovers. So I would like over 1.5 total interceptions in the game at plus 110.
Okay.
I had to bet the Brady one, I would bet the Brady's going to throw an interception. And he has in Super Bowls, and he did in the AFC title game. And it's just because they throw the ball as often as they do.
And sort of to add to what Scott's saying, it's not just all the throwing. These teams both operate in the middle of the field, too. When you operate in the middle of the field, like we saw with the tip ball with Edelman, all it takes is a tip ball, turns into an interception. So it doesn't even have to be, they're throwing with Mitchell Trubisky-like inaccuracy in this game. You just, bad balance turns into an interception.
Right. You just got to make sure that your weak side defensive end isn't lined up in the neutral zone.
That's a problem. Now, keep in mind here, you have two good kickers, great kicker there for the Rams. Will there be a missed extra point? Yes, plus 250. No, minus 310. Gary?
I would say no, but I would pass it off to Scott he's sort of the Gostkowski PAT expert here.
Oh gosh. He is not consistent on extra points. Even the ones that are good.
They are indoors.
They are indoors
Sunday, keep that in mind.
And they were indoors when he was missing them against the Falcons, right? That was
we were talking about, was it last offseason he had changed his hash mark on the PATs and he was still he was overcompensating the other way?
Yeah, I can't say. He's just inconsistent in the way he's been lining up. It was what I was complaining about, and I think rightly so, is it's like in golf. If you're consistently kind of slicing it out to the right, instead of fixing the mechanics of that, moving all the way to the left of the tee box and just assuming you're going to slice it, and now you're slicing it into the middle of the fairway, in Gostkowski's case, in between the uprights. But if you've looked at his recent extra points, not many of them are right down the middle. And interestingly, I think the field goal against the Chiefs was 47-yarder. It was a pretty deep one. And that one went right down the middle. But all the extra points are just kind of like tailing off a bit to the right. But he's been back in the middle of the field. He had gone to the left hash for a while. But, he had the missed extra point in the Falcons game. So I would probably take a mixed extra point in this one. Just based on what that price is.
I usually love this, but with Zuerlein, I don't think I would take the chance. But plus 250 is tempting. Total sacks in the game, 3.5. Over, though, is minus 140. Got anything on that, Scott?
I'm going to give that to Gary because I know he feels strongly about
Let's
it.
Let's go.
No, I'm taking the under in that. The most obvious reason is Goff has taken one sack in the playoffs. Brady has taken zero sacks. But I think these are two defenses that are going to be sort of holding on for dear life here. I don't think you'll see a lot of blitzes. I think you'll see a lot of coverage. And not to mention both these offenses, both these quarterbacks know what they're doing. They get the ball out. Goff typically is, they do the play action stuff. As soon as he hits his back foot, the ball's out. Brady is obviously more quick strike than downfield, probably because of the weaponry as much as it is the style they prefer to play at this point. But I don't think there's many sacks in this game. And on top of that,
Well, usually I know because I look at the sack prop bet for like Monday and Sunday night every week, and it's usually 4.5, 5. 3.5 is very low. For
it is. It is.
And you're only plus 120, too.
I think you get maybe one or two fluke sacks in this game, and that's it. And, I know there's an Aaron Donald factor here, but I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to be taken by surprise. They're sturdy in the middle of that line, and I don't think Donald gets to Brady.
All right.
Pretty sound reasoning. Yeah. I'd find it hard to argue what Gary's saying there.
Now, you already mentioned the interceptions. You like the over 1.5 of the game. They have here, will Jared Goff throw a pick? Yes, minus 130. So if you're going to go over 1.5 of the game, you probably wouldn't bet the Goff one specifically. But I love, will Goff throw a pick at minus 130? I like that one a lot.
Yeah, you kind of feel like he will, right? Would you? Which of those three, rate them in order, the over 1.5 for total interceptions in the game, which is minus 110, I believe.
I'd probably go with whichever one has the
big, it's plus 110.
The value.
Plus 110 right. on total interceptions in the game over 1.5.
I'd go with that. We mentioned the kickers. Now, the longest field goal of the game, over under 47.5 yards. Now, here's my thing. I think McVay is a let's go for it on fourth down guy, and I think Belichick is a fourth down go for it guy. I'm not sure you're going to have many attempts there, so I would go with no, or under 47.5, excuse me, at minus 110 on both of these.
I like it for the exact same reasoning. I think you'd see both sides going for it, fourth and manageable, from that kind of range where there's a field goal that's maybe, 49 to 55 yards.
I think I like the over. I think the game's going to be lower scoring than we expect, and I think three points will come in handy at some point. Not to mention you got two teams that are typically very good at the end of the first half, so you can get the ball back in 40 seconds, get in position for a long field goal, and obviously both kickers can bomb it. So
here's one I always throw $10 on just to have some fun. Will there be a safety? Yes, plus 600. There's no analysis.
I can't predict it. I do kind of want to add to my sack point just one more thing. Neither of these quarterbacks are guys who run around and try to make plays. That's where sacks come from a lot. You get a guy who's trying to spin away from three tackles and make a play late in the down. Neither of these guys are like that. So sort of the same token. It's very difficult to picture Goff or Brady taking a safety under any circumstances.
I did win a will there be a safety on a Monday night game once because Belichick had Brady run out of the back of the end zone.
Oh, man, that must be awesome.
You remember those.
Can I segue? Because I think this is a good segue for this, for one of my favorite props, if not my favorite, which is neither team will score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game at plus 130. So the 8 Brady Super Bowls, only once has there been a score in the first 6.5 minutes of any of those games. And it was not a Patriots score.
That's very interesting.
Do you know what the only score in the first 6.5 minutes of a Brady Super Bowl was? It was 6:08 into the game.
Oh, geez.
It was Super Bowl 46 against the Giants. It was a Giants safety on intentional grounding in the end zone. Remember Brady threw the ball like 45
middle
yards
the
down
field,
the middle
yeah.
of the field? And they all – that's the only score in a Tom Brady Super Bowl in the first 6.5 minutes.
That's a great stat.
So I am I'm playing very, very large. That's my favorite prop bet. And I figured I would segue to it just because you were talking about the safety.
That's a fascinating stat with the Patriots there with all those Super Bowls. And I hope it happens again because I'll be on the safety plus 600.
Because the Patriots had not scored in the first quarter of a Brady Super Bowl until the Eagles Super Bowl last year when they had a field goal. And I believe it was like with 4.5 minutes left in the quarter.
There's a logic to these games being low scoring in the first half because the offenses are not reinventing the wheel this week with the extra week. These offenses will do what they do. The defenses are the ones who are going to roll out some wrinkles, and there's an adjustment period.
So. Sorry, can I got a segue for that one as well, because another one of my favorite prop bets here is Duke's Zion Williamson, right? -5.5 points plus rebounds over the number of first half points in the Super Bowl. Because I think it's going to be relatively low scoring the first half of the Super Bowl. I agree with you. And it tends to be that way. And Zion Williamson going against St. John's at home, his points and rebounds in the last four home games. I mean, you're talking about, he's getting consistently, here's his last four home games. And these have been decent teams, too. He's played Clemson, Syracuse, Virginia, and Georgia Tech. And he's gone for 25 points, 35 points, 27 points, 22 points. And his rebounds in those games has been 10, 10, 9, and 7. So his lowest output in points plus rebounds there was 29. And, when you look at that home game against Clemson, 35, home game against Syracuse, 45. So I'm that's something I'm playing. I'm laying the 5.5 points with that.
5.5 against first half total.
Correct.
It's pretty good.
It's very good.
All right. This one here I normally wouldn't mention, but based on what's happened 2 weeks ago, will there be overtime? Yes, plus 700. Just throwing
that
out there.
Why not? Plus 700? Yeah.
Isn't there, and we're not promoting or sponsoring anything here, Buffalo Wild Wings, isn't it like free wings on Tuesday if the game goes into overtime?
Oh, really?
I heard something along those lines.
So who needs plus 700? If we get free wings instead.
I was going to say, won free wings with my family at the UConn women's basketball game on Sunday, and we were all psyched when the UConn women scored 82 points to win our wings, and then we were like, I don't know. We don't know where Buffalo Wild Wings is.
What is it, over 80 points?
82, because I guess it was like this kind of is turning into a commercial for Buffalo Wild Wings. I guess it was founded in 1982 or something like that. So 82 is the number they have to hit.
They've sponsored the SI Media podcast many times, so I should just
there you
be
go.
Quiet about
All right.
it. Will there be a special teams or defensive touchdown? Yes, plus 200. Does anyone...
No.
They're just too disciplined, these teams. I can't see.
And again, it's
I don't think there'll be a special teams, but defensive touchdown.
I mean, you're trying to think. So the special teams are good. You're probably not going to have a special teams touchdown. I'll just say that for no particular reason. When you get like a pick six, it tends to be like a ball to the flat or something like that. I know Alford got him a couple years ago when the Falcons did the man lurker stuff that they never do in the first half, and they fooled Brady. That can't repeat itself. So like a ball to the flat, that's not going to happen. A strip sack again. Yeah, these guys don't take sacks.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. I'm going to throw two out at once because they sort of are connected, and it might affect your theory on this. Will there be a two-point conversion attempt? Yes, plus 145. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? Yes, plus 250. I love both. I just think these games get out of control with missed extra points or coaches. Sean McVay is a wild card. I could see something. Greg Zuerlein has that leg injury. Maybe that flares up. Yeah. Then they got to go for two-point conversions.
I think I'm with you on this.
I like
Jimmy.
The value there.
I think you're going to have field goals in this game. Not ridiculously. It's going to be 9-6, but I think it is going to be something like a 26-23 type of game, and that'll get you like an 11-point margin at some point, possibly.
It's very very much like the NFC Championship game. That was the final score there. And there were a lot of field goals in that
game. Scott, do you think there'll be a two-point conversion attempt in this game?
If I had to play that, I would play yes, because I think most of the scoring in this game will be in the second half of the game, and that's where you tend to get you know, teams looking to make a five-point lead, a three-point, you know, that kind of thing, a nine-point, a seven-point, so on and so forth. So I think there's good value there. I'm with you on that one, Jimmy.
I'm going to throw a couple of Brady ones at you here. His total passing yards for Brady, 282.5, minus 110 on both sides. And touchdown passes by Brady, 2.5, over plus 170, under minus 200. Let's start with the yards, 282.5.
Yeah, I'm over on that.
I'm over on that. And
it's only minus 110.
And how about the Brady versus Goff, more passing yards?
Yes, I have that one starred somewhere when we go through this 36 sheets here. We'll get to
it. Sorry. Point.
I don't have the numbers. That's the only reason why.
I don't see Brady throwing for less than 300 yards in this game.
Me too.
I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, even the last two games where it's like, oh, they ran the ball so well, he threw for like 340 in both games.
And I think he could really feast on the Rams secondary there. Marcus Peters has been terrible. You know, they say Talib's coming back, but that secondary has been a weakness all season. I could see
those
Brady.
Are gambling guys.
You've had the Patriots winning these games with the Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead. Watch Tom Brady on Sunday. It's going to be the Tom Brady show, I think. And then of course you go to his TD passes, 2.5. If you think he's throwing three, you bet the over plus 170. I don't know about that. It seems like the Patriots are every game. It seems like they have a rushing touchdowns from the 1 yard line, and you know Brady gets a little screwed there. But
they're built to run it down there. Yeah, that's why it's tough.
I don't love as much.
After throwing that interception up 14-0
right,
in the Chiefs,
right.
I think that play is scrapped from the playbook. And
right.
You know, I'm not sure how many others. I just don't think you're going to see play action down at the 1 yard line. Even Belichick after the game sort of admitted, I think his quote was, "We got a little too cute there," and I would not disagree with that.
Couple of more Patriot player props. Edelman over under receptions is 6.5, minus 110 on both sides.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Patriots can kind of pick their spots here and spread the ball around a little bit.
Now, here's the one I love. I don't mean to cut you off, but neither one of you seem to love that. So let's go to something where I love it. And
yeah.
We'll get you.
Yeah.
Because I think this might be a typo. Gronk receptions, 3.5, minus 110. Yeah. How on earth do you not take that over?
Yeah.
How on earth do you not bet that over?
Here's what the opposite side, the argument for the opposite side of it would be this. I'm not saying I'm taking it, but I think they're going to be so concerned with Sue and to a much greater extent Donald in both the running game and pass protection. I could see Gronk playing more of a sixth lineman role than what he's been doing at least these past couple
Here's
of games.
Here's my counter to that. There's a lot of rumblings. Gary knows this better than me. A lot of rumblings. This could be Gronk's last game. I think Gronk's going to have a monster game. He had such a good game against the Chiefs, and I think with one game left in the season, he goes all out. I think maybe during the season, he wasn't 100% because of the injuries, but this is the last game of the season. And 3.5 catches. How does Rob Gronkowski, let me put it this way, by 11 o'clock Sunday night, wouldn't you be shocked if Gronk didn't have four catches in this game?
To Scott's point, the only way it wouldn't happen is if game flow gets you and the Patriots end up, you know, with a 17-0 lead at halftime, and they just sort of cruise to a win and run the ball 25 times in the second half. I don't see that playing out, but that's the only way you'd back off that one.
And even better here, well, I don't know about even better, but will Gronk score a touchdown? Yes, plus 170. Yes, please, take my money. Let's go. I'm ready for that one.
Again, they took that. I had that in the AFC Championship game. I had at about plus 190 Gronk scoring a touchdown, and if they didn't gack that play up 14-0 there, you know, he just hasn't been the threat down in the red zone that he had been recently, and it's because they're running the ball so yeah. well, and he's such a big part of that running game. He only has 3 touchdowns this season. So
I like the over three and a half
more than I like the scoring
Me
a touchdown.
Me too. I like the value for the other one, but yeah, you're right. Here's the more touchdown passes, Brady or Goff, pick them minus 110. We covered that.
That's crazy to me, right? I don't...
Well, I don't know. I mean... I wouldn't be shocked if either quarterback threw 3 touchdowns in this game. And I mean, yeah, you would have the way the Patriots have been running in touchdowns, it does give me a little bit of a concern in that bet. I mean, they've been running the ball so much.
We're talking the passing yards or the passing touchdowns?
Touchdowns.
Oh, passing touchdowns is not as crazy to me.
Touchdowns. Touchdown passes, yeah.
But yeah, the yardage thing, it just comes down to I don't think we can see a scenario where the Rams are protecting a huge lead in this game, but you can see that scenario with the Patriots, even though I think it's unlikely. So that's the only reason you think Brady doesn't have a big statistical day.
Here's a ridiculous one, but it's a lot of fun, I think. Can't wait to get the boys' reaction on this. Jersey number of the player to score the first touchdown over under 26.5.
This is my favorite prop every year. I love this prop. And here's
I love that's your favorite prop.
That prop, now that all the receivers are wearing the under 20 numbers, that they're between 10 and 19, that prop used to come in at like 80.5.
Brandon Cooks is 12, number 12, right?
Yep.
Right.
I'm so glad we're talking about it. I was going to bring it up later
And Robert Woods is 17.
So Sony Michel is on the low side of that, right? So you've got Woods, you've got Edelman, you've got Michel, and you've got Cooks.
Burkhart. No, he's 34.
So
34.
On the high side is Burkhead, Gronkowski. You got Hogan on the low side. I should have mentioned him. Right. He's relevant. You've got Everett. I'm drawing a blank. Now, Reynolds is 83,
right.
I think.
Higbee is on the high side. Higbee, 89. Gronk, 87.
Yep. Devlin.
So do you have a lean?
I'm leaning over.
Two Rams backs are over.
Do you have a lean?
The two Rams backs are over. And
that's why I lean over.
So you've got Michelle under.
All right, minus 110 on both sides.
And you've got James White over as well. James White is 28.
Right. That's right.
So you've got White, Gurley, and C.J. Anderson. You've got the tight ends. I like over 26.5 jersey number. Right. That is such – whoever came up with that prop needs to be in some kind of a Vegas Hall of Fame.
Let's do a couple of these.
I love that.
Let's do a couple of the cross sport here. I don't bet these ever. I don't like them. I never bet them, but I know people love them. I enjoy reading them, but I will never bet them. I'll see what the Grambling brothers have to say about this. Who will have more, Patriots points or Steph Curry points? Lakers play the Warriors on Sunday, and the Patriots are -1.5 in that one. I don't know.
Is LeBron still out?
Yes.
So what? The Warriors are gonna crush him, and Curry's gonna sit the fourth quarter.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. See, I don't even know how you begin to analyze that one. I don't know. How about this one? You might be able to analyze a little more. Who will have more? Kevin Durant points.
Against the Celtics.
Against the
Celtics. No, against Lakers. Against Lakers.
Jared Goff completions. Yeah. Durant -2.5.
I'd go Goff completions. Same reason. I think Warriors blow him out and Durant doesn't play a ton in the fourth quarter, and Goff's playing from behind.
And then this one here is, I just find it very amusing. What will be more again? The longest touchdown of Super Bowl 53, or James Harden points with the Rockets playing the Jazz, and him scoring basically 40.
In Utah or in Houston?
I think it's in Utah. Yeah.
That doesn't matter. How do you factor in the thin air, guys?
He can make the 38-foot shots that he's not able to make at sea level. At sea level, his range is like 34 feet.
I am fascinated by people who bet those. I really am.
It's funny. This is funny. There's more than 1,000 props here. And honestly, we did not talk about beforehand. And like the same ones that jumped out at Jimmy are the same ones that really jumped out at me as well.
And
I was looking at the Harden one. I would take Harden there over the long touchdown because I think that these teams are going to play, for the most part, bend but not break. It's not to say somebody won't be able to break one deep. I cannot see a Bill Belichick coach defense letting Brandon Cooks get behind them. I think they're going to play it similarly to how they played Tyreek Hill. And that was amazing to me that Andy Reid did not find ways to get the ball into Tyreek Hill's hands. I think that McVay is going to do a better job with Cooks, but he's not going to get behind the defense like he did on that key play against the Saints. I just don't see it happening. So I'll take the Harden points over the length of touchdown.
Will you actually bet it in real life? Will you bet any cross sport? Let's just...
Yeah, I'll bet the Zion Williamson one that I brought up before.
Okay.
And you know what? Now I think I am going to bet that just because I talked about it. And so if it happens and I don't bet it, I'll be mad. So now I'm going
to
bet it.
All right, let's get back to some legitimate props. This is your Super Bowl 53 MVP. Brady, even. Sony Michel, 16-1. Edelman, 30-1. Gronk, James White, 40-1. Hogan, 80-1. Clearly, everyone is on the Patriots here because they're in. Oh no, I'm sorry. Here come the. They do them separately. Let me try to give them in order for you. Brady, even, and Goff, 2-1. Sony Michel and Gurley, 16-1. C.J. Anderson, 20-1. Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Julian Edelman, 30-1. Gronk, James White, 40-1. I'm not going to bother with the rest. Like I had mentioned earlier, and I said this to Brent Musburger on the SI Media podcast, I love the value in Gronk at 40-1. Do I think he's going to be the MVP? Probably not. But again, put up a dollar and win 40 on Gronk, I'll take my chances. How do you not take the quarterbacks? The Grambling brothers will now explain.
Yeah, Goff's only 2-1, huh? That's too bad. I mean,
well, the books make a lot of money on this MVP thing. The prices are not friendly.
I will say I'll give the historical take here. Neil Hornsby from Pro Football Focus, who used to write a column for us on the MMQB, still a friend of the program, but he wrote a piece before Super Bowl 50 saying Von Miller was going to be Super Bowl MVP, which he was something like 18-1 at that point, and obviously he won it because they tried to single block him with Mike Remmers for 60 minutes. But I guess I'd take Goff. Just that's slightly better value if they're gonna the Rams are gonna win the game. There's no one else. This is one of those games where there's no one you look at and say like, boy, this is a matchup he's gonna feast on or something like that. I think it's gonna be one of the quarterbacks.
I think it's very difficult to take a receiver, whether that's a wide receiver, a running back who catches passes out of the backfield, or a tight end. What does James White have to – James White scored – didn't he score 20 points in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, and he wasn't MVP? Now, I could see Brady getting the MVP of that. We were talking before, you know – Edelman in Super Bowl 49, how does he not get MVP? But then again, yeah, a case could be made for Brady. I totally thought Edelman was the MVP of that one. I feel like in recent years, it's become harder and harder for the non-quarterbacks to get it. I think the Deion Branch Super Bowl MVP could have gone to Brady. I think that was split down the middle 50-50. So to me, picking any of the guys who are a factor in the passing game outside of the quarterbacks is just very difficult to do. If I'm looking for value here, I would go with Sony Michel at 16-1. I think you could make a case that that Chargers game, first playoff game, divisional round, he was the MVP of that game. If he has that type of game where he's rushing for 138, 140 something yards and three touchdowns, he's going to get MVP of that. Again, I think when you look at what James White did a couple Super Bowls ago, I mean, how can he possibly play any better than that? And he was not the MVP. It's a very difficult, I'm not going to bet it, but if I had to, I would probably go Sony Michel at the 16-1, especially when looking at how the Rams running backs have been splitting the time. And Gurley at 16-1, C.J. Anderson at 20-1. I wouldn't see either of those guys really standing out. I know Burkhead had been splitting carries to a degree with Sony Michel, but that's the way I would go if I had to play it. But again, the prices here are just not friendly to the bettors.
No, I just want to tack on to the wide receiver thing. Different era, but back in Super Bowl 40 when Hines Ward won it, he won it because he caught a wide receiver option pass from Antoine Randall. Roethlisberger was terrible in that game, but mostly I want to tell that story to point out that I've cast one official Super Bowl MVP vote, and it was that year, and I voted for Steelers punter Chris Gardai.
Oh, my God. You're the people,
robbed.
You're the people that you're the kind of people that people like me love the next day when we have to write a column like Train of Thoughts, because I can just rip you in. It's an easy day for me. What is this clown doing?
You could have given me 20 guesses on who the Steelers punter in that game was. I would not have gotten
Chris Gardocki. It's a blast from the past. Last one I got for you, and then if you guys want to throw any out that you have, is the player to score the first touchdown of Super Bowl 53. A lot of people always bet this. This is one of the more popular ones. Sony Michel, 6-1. Edelman, 10-1. Gronk, 12-1. James White, 10-1. Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, 15-1. Burkhead, 18-1. Cordell Patterson, 40-1. Brady, 60-1. Gurley, 7-1. CJ Anderson, 8-1. Cooks, 10-1. Woods, 8-1. And Goff, 50-1, if you like your QB sneak. Any thoughts on the first TD of the game?
Not really. I want to ask Scott real quick, as our resident Patriots expert. I feel like Philip Dorsett maybe gets one big play in this game. Like, if you're going to get one big play out of a Steelers, or excuse me, out of a Patriots receiver, maybe Dorsett gets behind the defense here. But
maybe 15-1 though is not a great price on that.
It's
if
not.
That's sitting at like 25-1, I could see taking a shot on that one. I'm with you. I do think it's one of these, you know, keeping the defense honest type things. You know, Michelle at 6-1, I would like that at 10-1. That's probably where I would end up going with this one. And, you know, that's the chalk here. I wouldn't take any of the either the two quarterbacks running sneaks. I don't think they're sending Brady up the middle on Aaron Donald and Sue. And
that's why they should do it.
That's might be out for the game. Sue would stomp on him. I do like that JoJo Natson is listed here at 200-1.
Nice.
How about that?
That's a his family's got something to bet on now.
Hey, Gary, do you like the first touchdown?
No, there's really no one.
I never bet that one either. I don't know why.
Because you can't really put much logic to it, right? It's
well, I can't put much logic to a coin toss, but I'll bet that.
Exactly.
I find that more fun than first touchdown. Do you guys have any props that you would like to discuss? Anything stick out?
I think I got two left that we didn't touch
on. Keep in mind, we still have to do the game, so let's
yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm taking Goff. Goff throws a touchdown in the third quarter. That's +140. I think I talked about this last week. The Patriots sometimes do take the ball if they win the toss. So let's call it a 53% chance the Rams are going to start with the ball in the second half, pick up that extra possession there. And like we said earlier, it's a feeling out period for the offenses in the first half. I think if Goff is going to throw a touchdown or two in this game, it's most likely one of them will come in the third quarter.
Scott?
I've really brought up all my favorites as we were going along. I really love neither team will score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game at +130. I gave you the Zion Williamson one. I'm not going to garble that one up again, but it's -5.5 points plus rebounds, more than Super Bowl first half points. I like the total interceptions of the game over 1.5 at +110. And the other one I like that I didn't give, I like Chris Hogan first reception over 10.5 yards. This is a guy who averages 15 yards per reception. I feel like the Patriots are going to look to open underneath and middle of the field for guys like Edelman, the running backs, Gronkowski. I just don't see Hogan running many of these short routes when all these other guys are running these routes. Over 10.5 yards for Hogan's first reception. I think there's good value there.
All right, let's get to the game. Finally, the main event, although to me, the game wager is irrelevant. I'm all about the props on Super Bowl Sunday. Let's have some fun with that. The Patriots are still 2.5 as we tape this here. Be very interesting. I expected it to go to 3 by game time because everyone seems to be on the Patriots. I haven't seen anyone on the Rams. You Gary would know that better than me with covering the MMQB. But I'm surprised it stayed at 2.5. We'll analyze it at 2.5 since it hasn't gone to 3 yet. The Patriots are -2.5. Total still 57.5. You're in a dome. You don't have to worry about weather. And we'll start with Scott.
It's a cat and mouse game right now with what the line is doing because the books are afraid when they pump it up to 3, they're going to get all the Rams sharp money that may or may not, but probably is waiting to pounce on 3. If you want to bet the Rams, there's really not much reason to bet them at 2.5. it's the extent to which Patriots money will come, continue to come in on 2.5 that will force the hand of the book. So I think it will get to 3, and then I think it'll come back to 2.5 and maybe 2. I like the Patriots a lot in this game. I just can't come up with angles where I feel confident that the Rams are a team here that, with their relative lack of experience, they have not been particularly dominant against the better competition throughout this year. Ended up going in Chicago, got beat at home by the Eagles. Their power ratings, I think, are a bit inflated by how they were blowing out the Cardinals a couple of times, the 49ers a couple of times. You know, the two games they played against the Seahawks were one-score games. To me, I just feel like it's a solid matchup, relatively speaking, for the Patriots. And I do think experience, and I tend to not be one who gives that much credence to experience, but I think it's going to be significant here. And I don't think the Patriots are going to make the kind of mistakes in this game that Jared Goff will be prone to make, given his relative lack of experience. And I think it was Jimmy saying before that the 2 weeks to prepare for Bill Belichick against Jared Goff, I have to lean Patriots pretty strongly in this one.
No, I fully agree. Look, if you like the Rams in this, you're just basically saying, I think the Rams are going to play their best game, and I think the Patriots are going to have a slightly off day. There's not a huge gap between the teams, but there's just no real justification for saying, I think the Rams will win this game if both teams play, pretty much what they're capable of playing as. I like the under. Like I said before, I think it's a feeling out period in the first half. For Super Bowl teams, especially with two well-coached teams and two well-run offenses like this. I think you get some points in the second half. I think you do get more field goals than you might expect in this one. But, that's kind of it. That's kind of my take. I was looking at the alternate lines and trying to – I just didn't like the value, but I was wondering if I could find, like, a Patriots minus 10.5 at a really big number. I think there's a chance. I don't think this is likely, but I think there's a chance this is the kind of game where Patriots offense is on the field for like 36 minutes, and that is Sean McVay's absolute nightmare to have to stand out there for 4 hours and only get to call like 20, 25 minutes worth of plays. And he just sort of goes on tilt a little bit with the passing game, and it sort of gets away from him. But it's tough to find an argument for the Rams covering here.
Just at 56.5 is the total. If I had to play it, I would play under as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to find a way to pick the Rams, but it's very hard for me to bet against the Patriots here. I mean, the one thing I would say is this. You know, the Patriots did lose the Super Bowl last year to the Eagles. They, and this is not to take away from New England, but that was an incredible choke job by Atlanta 2 years ago. And in my brain, they lost that Super Bowl to the Seahawks. They won it because the dope threw it instead of ran it. The Patriots' success in the Super Bowl is a little overblown, if you ask me. Now,
for those two breaks, they'd be on a 5-game Super Bowl losing streak, in theory.
The Patriots losing in the Super Bowl wouldn't be shocking to me, but I do think I'm big on the storylines here, and they've somehow managed, as ridiculous and pathetic as it is, they have managed to rally around this underdog, we suck thing. And, who knows? I think there's something there which is weird. And again, Belichick against a 33-year-old coach who is a genius in his own right. But it's just like there's nothing for me to go Rams this, Rams that. You know, the theme I've been on with the Rams is I do think this was their year after last year. And it's Scott nicely reminded me, I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Correct. Yeah. 10-1.
So if they're playing anyone else, I'd probably pick them. But when you have the best quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time sitting there, it's just hard for me to pick against them. It really is.
Here's one thing I'll throw out there too. This Patriots team, more so than in recent years, has been playing increasingly better and really is playing its best football at this point in the season. I mean, remember last year, right? So you tend to always say that about the Super Bowl team. Obviously, they've come in winning two playoff games. But last year, the playoff games they won were against a very mediocre Titans team. And then against a Blake Bortles Jaguars team in a game that they really kind of should have lost. Yeah. They're just in a different place where they've been getting better in recent weeks, whereas it feels like in past years they were peaking a bit in early December and maybe a bit too soon. I don't know if that's something to read into or not, but I point that out as it does seem to be a difference with this year's Patriots team than in recent years.
Let's wrap it up with the final score prediction.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go...
I already have mine in mind.
I know.
So you say yours.
27-23, Patriots.
Patriots 31, Rams 20.
And I'm going to go Patriots 34, Rams 30. I think the Rams are going to score points. I do think they'll score. I don't think they're going to be stopped completely. Maybe I should say 34, 27.
You don't want to say 34-31. My wife would love that. She has the 4 for the Patriots and the 1 for the Rams in the box.
Probably not.
No. So what's your final answer?
34-30. I think it's going to be an exciting game.
Passion that missed extra point. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be very self-indulgent here and just read you my prop bets from last year. I found them. And
nice.
I think I won every one of these except for one, but I can't figure out the one. Will a two-point conversion be attempted plus 145? Got that. Under 122 seconds for the anthem was a winner. Will Giselle be shown more than 1.5 times? Yes, minus 170, a winner. I think this is the one I lost. Will Al or Chris say brotherly love? Yes, minus 120. PAT or field goal hits the goalpost? Yes, plus 400. Won that.
Oh, that is awesome.
Jersey number of the first TD scorer was over 32.5. I'm trying to find out who scored the first touchdown last year. You guys probably remember that with your memories. And here was my favorite. The first touchdown was Alshon Jeffrey. So that was a winner.
No, that was under.
No, that was under.
He's 17.
Oh, okay, right. Here was a good one I won. Flea flicker attempted, yes, plus 180.
Oh, nice.
So that was only plus 180, though. That part's a little
disappointing. The Eagles are running that crazy offense there, remember?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That you didn't get good value. All right. So you'll both be in Atlanta. You'll both be. Will you be at the game, Gary, or are you going to come back beforehand?
Everyone's going to hate me. I'm leaving before.
I would leave beforehand too.
Yeah.
So Scott will be in Atlanta,
either seat 21, 22, 23, or 24 of row 20, section 338. If you want to come
to
the side.
So Scott will be in the building, praying no one scores in the first 6.5 minutes of the game. Gary will be working from New York. So everyone should check out his work on SI.com, the MMQB, and also check out the SI Media Podcast with Brett Musburger if you're a degenerate. And we will have a show next week to put a bow on the season and look ahead at some futures. And that'll do it for the Super Bowl edition of the MMQB Podcast. Enjoy the game, and we will see you next week.
Have a profitable Super Sunday, everybody.